tonight. We honor you, honor your word, honor your presence in this place. These are your people, sheep of your pasture. Just ask you to have your way tonight in this very service. Be glorified. Glorify your name. Father, give us the unction, the utterance tonight. You know we've prepared, but give us that divine ability to speak into the lives of your people. Father, bless all of those listening, however they listen, online, some other venue, or here in this live service. Touch every ear, touch every heart. Father, I pray that your message will have personal, direct application in the lives of every single person listening to this message. Father, may you accomplish all of your will, all of your purpose, all of your plan. We just yield unto you tonight, asking you to have your way. Ask you to bless our pastors. Father, use them tonight. Father, keep them strong and anointed and protected. Flow through them. All of those ministering in Oklahoma City, Father, the same thing. Keep them strong and anointed, protected. Flow through them. Give them all safety. We'll be careful. We'll give you all the glory, the honor, the praise for everything that's wrought in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. If you agree with that, you can have your seat. I want to show you a video clip as I start my message tonight. It's very reminiscent of my dad. My dad and I watched not just this clip, but many, many episodes of The Honeymooners through the years. I think we probably watched every episode of The Honeymooners. I want to show you one that deals with our sermon tonight, if we could go ahead and roll that.
You can't use this table. Me and my friend, we're playing here.
What are you talking about? We can't use the table. We are using it. Get out of here. Go ahead and show.
But gee, fellas, we were all ready to play. We just went inside first to get a cold drink.
Well, I hope it was very cold. And I hope it was strong milk. Now get out of here. Go ahead.
How do you expect me to go ahead and shoot with all this arguing and everything? Let's get another table.
We are not getting another table. We started here. We're going to finish here. Now you get out of here. Go ahead.
You better not. My friend isn't going to like this.
I don't care what your friend likes. Now, you're not getting this table under any condition. Go ahead and shoot.
All right for you. But if you do not let us have this table, I am going in and tell my friend Harvey.
Harvey?
Oh, Harvey!
You're going to tell your friend Harvey?
Harvey!
He's going to tell Harvey.
That's a nice name. I like
that. That's not a nice name,
That's
Harvey.
A nice name, Harvey.
I don't care if you tell Harvey. Go ahead and tell him. Got me mighty scared. I'm shaking a gut.
You better be careful. My friend is even bigger than me.
Your friend Harvey is bigger than you? I have a friend Shirley that's bigger than you.
Stop picking on the little guy.
I'm not picking on it. He started it. We're playing here. We're going to continue to play here. Now look, go in there with your friend Harvey. And if he wants to start anything, or you want to start anything, just come back out here again, and I'll twist you into bookends. Now get out of here. Go ahead. They're maniacs all over the joint.
I got to admit one thing. When you are right, Ralph, nobody pushes you around. You know why? Because you got spunk.
Spunk has nothing to do with it, Norton. I was in the right. And when I'm in the right, nobody pushes me around.
I bet that Harvey is burning up in there now.
I hope Harvey is burning up, I'll tell you that. I hope he's so burned out that he comes out here and tries to start something. I'll bend him into a pretzel. When I'm in the right, I'm in the right. Nobody pushes me around.
All right, pal. There we go.
Very lucky. Very lucky.
This is my friend Harvey.
I told you, you're not going to get the table. Now go away. Come on, Norton, will you? And you beat it too, Harvey.
Hey, Ralph, he's even bigger than your friend Shirley. I got an idea those bookends are going to be a little lopsided.
What are you talking about? Bookends.
Said he was going to twist me and you into bookends.
Oh, he did, huh? So you're going to twist me and him into bookends.
That's right. He's going to twist you and him into bookends. You got nothing to worry about, Ralph. You're in the right. Nobody can push you around.
That's not all he said. He made fun of your name. He said Harvey was a funny name.
Oh, he did, huh?
Harvey's a lovely name.
So Harvey's a funny name. You're a real wise guy, huh? I don't like wise guys. You know what I might do to you? I might punch you right in the mouth.
All right, now, wait. Just a minute. You can't talk to us that way.
You keep out of this.
Yeah, stay
what
out
are you yelling at me for? I wasn't the one that said I'd twist you into a pretzel. He did.
Shut up. Oh, so you're going to twist me into a pretzel, huh?
I don't even like pretzels. But wait.
You hear that, George? He's going to twist me into a pretzel. All right, wise guy. I'll give you a chance. Come on, step outside.
Well, Ralph, I'll hold your coat.
Why don't you shut up?
Come on, wise guy. Step outside and twist me into a pretzel.
I can't go outside. I have my new suit on.
All right, I'll let you get away with it this time, because you're just scared.
Yeah, he's just scared.
Yeah, rack him up. We're going to use this table, George.
Now, let's go, Norton.
I just want to tell you one thing, that my friend ain't a scared, are you? What he said about wearing a new suit is true. He got a brand new suit on. He'll fight you anytime.
Will you shut
He'll
up,
be
Norton?
There.
Norton, shut up.
So you want to fight me some other time, huh? All right, wise guy. Meet me at 8 o'clock at Kelsey's gym Friday night.
Come on. We will be there. Just make sure that you show up.
Don't worry, I'll be there. And if you don't show up, I'll come get you. Where do you live?
328 Chauncey Street.
All right, don't forget, Friday night, Kelsey's gym. Come on, George, I want to go home and punch the bag a little.
Okay, Harvey.
And just remember, if you don't show up, I'll come get you.
A pox on you and all your ancestors!
What is the matter with...
Well, that's obviously an episode of The Honeymooners. That clip you saw was from a very popular TV series started back in the 50s, in the early days of television, and that was a number one hit show. And somehow, I don't know, my dad, he loved that and got me all hooked on it. And we'd stay up every night, and at 11 o'clock, we'd watch an episode of The Honeymooners together just before bed. And we'd laugh, you know, hilariously. And I miss that. You know, I miss my dad. We had our own language. We used common phrases that Big Mouth Ralph would use, and we had all kind of, you know, a mere bag of shells, point the car toward Mexico, give me a motorboat with three propellers. We'd use all kind of phrases with each other, only him and I understood, but it always came from some episode of The Honeymooners and always described some kind of trouble Ralph was in. But here, Ralph, his big mouth got him in trouble. Foolish pride was at the core of Ralph's trouble, and many times, my friend, don't let that be your problem. Foolish pride may be hindering you from receiving the blessings of God in a greater degree and a higher level in your own life. And sometimes foolish pride can keep the blessings of God from flowing. And we need to be cognizant of that. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. We're talking about the power of humility tonight. The power of humility. We're starting in 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm going to read from the Living Bible. I'm not sure we have that version available for our screens, but if not, we'll have something close enough, the New Living or something like that. So if what I'm reading sounds a little different than what you're looking at on the screen, no worries, okay? 1 Peter chapter 5 at verse 1, let's go. And now a word to you elders of the church. I too am an elder. With my own eyes, I saw Christ dying on the cross. I too will share his glory and his honor when he returns. Fellow elders, this is my plea to you. Feed the flock of God. Care for it willingly, not grudgingly, not for what you will get out of it, but because you are eager to serve the Lord. Don't be tyrants, but lead them by your good example. And when the head shepherd comes, your reward will be a never-ending share in his glory and honor. You younger men, follow the leadership of those who are older. And all of you, serve each other with humble spirits. For God gives special blessings to those who are humble, but sets himself against those who are proud. Verse 6, if you will humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, in his good time, he will lift you up. Let him have all of your worries and cares, for he is always thinking about you and watching everything that concerns you. Be careful. Watch out for attacks from Satan, your great enemy. He prowls around like a hungry, roaring lion looking for some victim to tear apart. Stand firm when he attacks. Trust the Lord and remember that other Christians all around the world are going through these sufferings too. And after you have suffered a little while, our God, who's full of kindness through Christ, will give you his eternal glory. He personally will come and pick you up, set you firmly in place, make you stronger than ever. To him be all power over all things forever and ever. Amen. Verse 12, I'm sending this note to you through the courtesy of Silvanus, who is, in my opinion, a very faithful brother, and I hope I've encouraged you by this letter. I've given you a true statement of the way God blesses. What I have told you here should help you to stand firm in his love. The church here in Rome, she's your sister in the Lord, sends you her greetings. So does my son Mark. Give each other the handshake of Christian love. Peace be to all of you who are in Christ. Peter was inspired to write those words. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, if you will. You may as well know this too, Timothy, that in the last days it's going to be very difficult to be a Christian. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be proud and boastful, sneering at God, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful to them, and thoroughly bad. Pretty interesting scriptures, but these scriptures speak about the power of humility, and that's our subject tonight. You know, everywhere you look in our world today, there's so many problems you could identify in our world today, but at the core of what's wrong oftentimes in this country is our world, our country seems to be so full of pride, so full of arrogance when you think about it. And so often when it's time to acknowledge God in our country, we do that as a nation. I don't mean us as Christians, but as a nation, we do that less and less. And it seems everywhere you look in our country, there is a slow spiral that is anti-God, that is anti-Christian, that doesn't want to acknowledge the name of God. Everybody's excited for Christmas, but now, secularly, people are really just excited because of the money being spent. Has nothing even, they've tried to even blot Christ out of Christmas. Nothing wrong with Santa, of course, but our country, our world doesn't want to give Christ his just due. Not even at Christmas. At Easter time, we're content just to thank the Easter bunny. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, just, you know, families, you know, just acknowledging and having fun with that. But what I'm talking about is the overall acknowledgement of what Christ has done at Easter. In the world, there is this push to deny Christ, even his resurrection glory, even at Easter time. Thanksgiving, everybody's happy at Thanksgiving, everybody's traveling home, but I'll tell you what, more and more in our society is so decadent. Look around, and people will say, yeah, we're thankful. They'll thank everybody but God at Thanksgiving. I don't mean us Christian folks. We know from whence our blessings come from, and we're thanking the Lord. I'm talking about the culture in which we live. It is becoming increasingly godless, increasingly thankless. And yet we wouldn't be here as a country. You wouldn't be here. Neither would I had not the Lord did what he did to preserve this country and to do all of the great things that he's done for us. And God has been good to this nation. God's been good to this country. And increasingly we have folks who are professional revisionists. They rewrite history, and when they rewrite history, they try to write all of the great things that God did, all of the founders of the country and their great beliefs in the Lord, all of the ways that the Lord led them, they try to write all of that out. Quote unquote, it's a conflict between church and state. Let me tell you, without the church, this country wouldn't even be here. And our society should wake up and recognize what would happen if the body of Christ were not in this earth realm. Because do you realize if the body of Christ were no longer in this earth realm, if Christ had already returned to get us and to rapture us to heaven, can you imagine the chaos that's going to take place in this earth realm? At the very least, Secular people who don't believe in God or who may not understand it should thank the Christians. They should thank God that we're in this earth realm. I don't say that pridefully. I say that humbly. I say that scripturally. Because certain things will be set in motion when the church is no longer here. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "Then if my people will humble themselves and pray and search for me and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear them from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land." One of the first requirements that God says is necessary is humility. If my people called by my name will humble themselves and pray. We're talking about humility tonight. We're talking about the power of humility. I read that scripture in 1 Peter chapter 1, those first 11 verses. And then 2 Timothy 3, verse 2, read that as well. And all of these scriptures, we're admonished to be humble, but why? Well, number one, we're admonished to be humbled because humility is one of the great attributes of Jesus Christ. Paul said this, "Follow me as I what? Follow Christ." And one of the things that Christ identifies himself with is humility. He describes himself as gentle and humble. Matthew 11:28, he says, Matthew 11, if you go down from 28, 29, and 30, he says, "I'm gentle and humble. You'll find rest for your souls." He identifies himself, Christ does, with humility. The second reason we're admonished to be humble, the first is because Christ is humble, our Savior is, but secondly, God gives special blessings to those who are humble. And I want to talk about that in a minute. But first, I want to draw your attention to what it really means to walk in humility. What does it really mean to be humble? Because there are five things. I call these my five C's of humility. I wrote this message. I had to go to New Jersey during spring break, and I was trying to sell my dad's car from there, and so then I wasn't getting what I wanted for the car and decided to go and pick the car up, so I flew in there one way and drove the car back. Of course, it's a long drive driving by yourself, 1,300 miles or whatever it was. So I stopped to get a hotel and rest. I'd driven as far as I could and got a hotel and rested, and I went to bed. I must have gone to bed one night. The night I was there, I think I was in bed by 8 o'clock. But at 2 o'clock, I was bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, wide awake. But then at 2 o'clock, I opened my Bible, and this sermon is what I prepared that night, what I'm sharing with you tonight. And so then I stayed up several hours working on this, and then went back to bed and then hit the road again. But I call these my five C's of humility to help you get them. I think we're going to be able to put them on the screen. At least we're going to try and put them on the screen for you and go through them quicker that way. These are called the five C's of humility. Let's see if we can get them there. All right. So the first one, number one, and I'm getting all, you say, where are you getting these? I'm getting these from the reference in 1 Peter chapter 5, okay? The first one is feed with care. Feed with care. Let's see if we get that up there. Did it come over? There we go. All right, feed with care. You say, where do you get that? I get that really from verse 2, 1 Peter 5, and then verse 2. He said, talking to the ministers, feed the flock of God, care for it willingly, not grudgingly, not for what you can get, but because you're eager to serve the Lord. Don't be tyrants, but lead them by a good example. Feed the flock. He speaks about humility, and humility applies to every aspect of the church, from the pulpit to the pew. And he says here, talking to the shepherds, talking to the elders, to feed, take care of the flock with humility. Amen. And the thing about it is, one day, God's going to give a great accounting. He's going to have a great accounting for all of us who have helped to share and care and shepherd people for how we did it. Amen. And I know as staff, that makes us, I know, very sober about how we minister to you, how we care for you. Because we know there is a shepherd and there's an over-shepherd and we're just under-shepherds following Pastor Hagin's lead, and we do so carefully. But he says, if you're a minister, then take care of God's people. And, don't make excessive demands on the people. But he mentions that Christ is coming back a couple of times in those first couple of verses. And he says, feed people for what you can give them, not for what you can get from them. Amen. So feed with care is the first one of these five C's of humility. The second one is lead with credibility. Lead with credibility. And really, I get that from verse 3 when he tells the shepherds to set a good example. And really, speaking to all of us to set a good example, it would behoove all of us to set a good example. But leading with credibility is so very important. And what gives credibility, what helps us to have credibility? Leading by example. Leading by example. And then the third thing is to follow. We're talking about five C's of humility. And after each major word here, the next words start with a C. So feed with care, lead with credibility, follow with consideration. And there he says verse 5, he says, young men should follow the leadership of those who are older or those who have more experience. Follow with consideration. Let's see if it comes over here. And it takes humility to do that. That's an aspect of humility, learning to follow someone else's lead. Believe it or not, you know, there may be somebody who has more experience doing something that you know how to do. You may know how to do it very well. There may be somebody who has more experience doing it. God says, if that's true, listen, you better learn how to follow. We'll never be a good leader. I tell you this, we'll never be a good leader without, first of all, being a good follower. Number four is to serve with compassion. We get that from 1 Peter 5:5. And he says, all of you serve one another with humble spirits. 1 Peter 5:5, serve with compassion. It's so very important. Feed with care, lead with credibility, follow with consideration, serve with compassion. Serve with compassion. He says, brothers and sisters in the Lord should look out for one another, should serve one another, should put one another first. That's an aspect of humility. Amen. And then finally, five. These are my five C's of humility. Number five, watch with caution. Watch with caution. And there, remember, he says, your great enemy, Satan, is trying to catch you off guard. Watch with caution. Because verse 8, he says, be careful, watch out from attacks from your great enemy. He walks around, he prowls around like a hungry, roaring lion looking for another victim to devour. And God, you know what? God doesn't want that victim to be you or I. Amen? And so it's so very important that we walk in humility. But you know, he goes on and he talks about the power of humility here, and I want to share just several other points with you, and I have these up there as well, and I want to make my case to you about the importance of humility. This is something that is not, none of us are exempt from. Every single one of us need humility, and if we're going to be all that God wants us to be, if we're going to accomplish all that God wants us to accomplish, it's going to happen because we're walking humbly before our God. Amen? And so in these scriptures, we're admonished to be humble. But why? I want to share seven blessings. Seven blessings. You know, he said that God would bless those who are humble. And I want to share with you real quick seven things that God will do for the humble man or the humble woman. We're looking primarily at 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. We'll also look at Philippians chapter 2. But seven things God will do. Here's my case to you. Walking in humility is a huge benefit to the Christian. Why? Number one, God's going to hear your prayers and comfort you when you're hurting. If you'll walk in humility, God will hear your prayers and he will comfort you when you're hurting. Amen. And you can get that from Psalms 10, verse 17. It says there, Lord, you know the hopes of the humble people. Surely you will hear their cries and comfort their hearts by helping them. I like that. That's Psalm 10, verse 17. Over in Psalm 69, verse 32, Psalm 69, verse 32 and 33, it says, the humble see their God at work, for them. No wonder they will be so glad. All who seek for God live in joy, for Jehovah hears the cries of his needy ones and does not look the other way. Walking in humility, what's the first special blessing that God's going to give? He's going to hear your prayers and comfort you when you're hurting. Secondly, what's the second thing that God will do? He'll assume responsibility for all of your worries and cares. And that scripture that we read in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, let him have all of your worries and cares, for he's always thinking about you and watching everything that concerns you. I like that. Do you know that? God's always thinking about you, and God's always watching everything that concerns you. Amen. Well, if you will walk in humility, the second thing God will do is he will assume all responsibility for all of your worries and cares. We don't have to carry them anymore unless we're too proud to cast our burdens on the Lord. Number three, God will cause you to avoid the common mistakes made by others. If we'll follow the leadership of others, and if we won't be afraid to submit to other people who are in leadership, what's going to happen? God's going to help us to avoid common pitfalls. We'll avoid common mistakes. Amen. He says, follow the leadership. He tells the younger men, follow the leadership of the old. He tells the younger women, follow the leadership of the older women with more experience. Submit yourself to them. Be humble around them. See what you can learn. Amen. But what happens when you do that? God causes you to avoid the common mistakes made by other people. Amen. Number four, I said there's seven special blessings God's got for you and I if we'll walk in humility. But number four is God will give you strength to overcome temptation. If you'll walk humbly before God, he'll give you the strength to overcome temptation. James 4:6 says this, but he gives us more and more strength to stand against all such evil longings. As the scripture says, God gives strength to the humble, but sets himself against the proud and haughty. We walk in humility, God gives us his strength. And what does he give us such strength for? One reason, he gives us more and more strength to stand against all such evil longings. Walking in humility, what will that cause God to do? It'll cause him to give you strength to overcome temptation. Over in Job 22:29, it says, if you're attacked and knocked down, you will know that there is someone who will lift you up again. Yes, he will save the humble. I like that. Number five, there's a fifth special blessing that God gives to the humble. What's that fifth special blessing? God will promote you in your due season. Not in your time, but in his time. You know, to him, 1,000 years is, you know, 1,000 years to us, just like one day to him. But I'll tell you this, God will bring you out. God will lift you up. God will help you in every way. God will promote you. God will lift you to the next level. If you'll walk in humility, and especially when you think you didn't get that promotion, especially when you think it didn't come through for you, if you'll stay humble, oh man, it won't be long, and God will lift you up. God will promote you in your due season. Amen. 1 Peter 5:6-7 says he'll promote you. Amen. What's the sixth special blessing that God has for those who are humble? Number six, God will make you a more effective soul winner. He'll make you a more effective soul winner. You say, how will he do that? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23, again from the Living Bible, 2 Timothy 2:23, says this, again, I say, don't get involved in foolish arguments which only upset people and make them angry. God's people must not be quarrelsome. They must be gentle, patient teachers of those who are wrong. 25, be humble when you are trying to teach those who are mixed up concerning the truth. Be humble. For if you talk meekly and courteously to them, they are more likely, with God's help, to turn away from their wrong ideas and to believe what is true. And then they will come to their senses and escape from Satan's trap of slavery to sin, which he uses to catch them whenever he likes. And then they can begin doing the will of God. And then number seven. The seventh special blessing that God has for those who walk in humility, God will reward you when Christ returns. This is from our passage in 1 Peter chapter 5 again. And he says, when Christ returns, those who have walked in humility are going to be honored with Christ and going to receive their reward. God's got a special reward for the humble. And we serve a soon coming king, and he's coming back again. And when he comes back, I don't know about you, but I want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. If you'll walk in humility now, he will exalt you later. Christ showed us that example. Christ showed us that way. He came and lived his life so humbly. Here he is, the creator, allowing the creation to spit upon him, to gamble over his clothing, and to stick that crown of thorns in his head and to nail him to a cross. But he did it humbly and accomplished the mission and the purpose and the plan of God. But after he humbly went through that, God highly exalted him and gave him a name that's above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue should confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. He walked in humility on this earth and God lifted him up and exalted him. And God has a pattern. And after humility comes exaltation. What about you and I tonight? You know, as I conclude this message tonight, many folks are in need of prayer and many people are praying. They're asking God for his help. The Bible says there are two types of people that are described in Luke chapter 18. Two types of people praying. The story is told of someone who boasted of his virtue and scorned everyone else. Yet another man just said, look, I tell you, I'm a sinner, and asked God for his mercy humbly. And then a Pharisee refused to repent, refused to be humble. And in the story, God says that he comes to the aid of the sinner because the sinner was humble, was willing to admit that he was wrong, was willing to turn to God with a repentant heart. That's my question tonight as we wind down. What's the condition of your heart, my friend? I know the Lord had us share and had us teach on this subject for a reason. In Isaiah 66, verses 1 and 2, it says this, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. What temple can you build for me as good as that? My hand has made both the earth and skies, and they are mine. Listen to this. Yet I will look with pity on the man who has a humble and contrite heart, and who trembles at my word. God's looking at everybody, but he says, I'll look with pity at the man who has a humble, contrite heart and who trembles at my word. And you should know this, my friend, the very first thing that pride will keep a man from doing is repenting of sin. Pride will keep a woman from coming home to Christ. Pride will say to that person, you're okay, you're going to be all right. There's no need to respond. They're probably trying to scare you anyway. Everybody's going to be looking at you. Pride will say, yeah, why don't you do it tomorrow? Wait till another time, another day. Today is not the time. Pride will say, you know, that preacher, he's just trying to scare you. This talk's having a psychological effect on you. What you feel going on is just psychological. You're really okay. You don't need to repent. But someone right here tonight, God's dealing with you. And it's no psychological effect. It's the Holy Ghost dealing with you. And the Bible says that God, he causes us to repent through his kindness. He loves us so much. He shows us kindness. Through his kindness, he wants us to repent. One more scripture in Isaiah 57, verses 15 through 17. Isaiah 57, verses 15 through 17. It says this, the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, the Holy One, says this, I live in that high holy place where those with contrite, humble spirits dwell. And I refresh the humble and give new courage to those with repentant hearts. For I will not fight against you forever, nor always show my wrath. If I did, all mankind would perish, their very souls that I have made. I was angry and smote those greedy men, but they went right on sinning, doing everything their evil hearts desired. And so God said, where he dwells, there are humble and contrite spirits. So with every head bowed now, my friend, every eye closed, I know this has been a simple message tonight. We've endeavored to follow the Lord, and we know he's speaking to someone right now. And if you're sitting here tonight, you're tired of going through what you've been going through. You need some divine intervention to pull you through. You need some divine help. You want God to help you. Then you better listen to what God has to say to you. Because that uneasy feeling that you're having, that's God speaking to you. He's trying to help you. And if you're going to receive his help, you're going to have to humble yourself and do it God's way. The good news tonight, God loves you. He loves you so much. He sees what you're going through. And he's willing and able to help you. Now the question is, are you going to turn him away? Are you going to turn his help away? Are you going to get what you came for? I may be talking to you tonight. You may be here tonight, and maybe you never received Christ into your life. You say, preacher, that's me. Lift your hand. I want to pray for you. Across this auditorium with every head bowed, every eye closed, lift your hand. If you've never received Jesus as your Savior, you've never received him as your Lord, I want you to lift your hand where I can see it, because I'm going to pray for you tonight. Say, I want to give my life to Christ. Ushers, help me here. You may be sitting here tonight, and maybe you received Christ in your life, but you're not living right. And you've been walking your own way, doing your own thing. And the way you've been living could be described anything but humble. But God's dealing with you, and tonight you want to come home. Let me see your hand. Say, I want to come home tonight. I want to get my life right with the Lord. Let me see your hand in this place. God's dealing with you. Then you're here. You're here tonight. And some issue of pride. Maybe some area of your life. Maybe some decision. But some issue of pride you've been letting put a wedge between you and God. And for this, I'm not going to ask you to come down here. I'm just going to ask you to be honest with God. God's dealing with you about something. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. Let me see your hand. God's dealing with me about something to repent of. Yes, yes. Something to let it go. Yes, yes. Just all over. Amen. Amen. The Lord wants to help you. Right there from your seat. I want you just to turn it over to him. I want you just to humbly repent to him. Let it go. Give it to him. Sometimes the failure to forgive someone can be pride, can be steeped in pride. Sometimes the desire to do your own thing, your own way, can be steeped in pride. So turn it over to him and make it right with him. And there won't be anything between you and God. And there won't be any blockage, any flow, any hindrance to the blessings of God in your life. You see, Father, honest hands, honest hearts, honest people. You see those who are listening through some other venue. Now, thank you, Father, for helping your people. Thank you for ministering strength and peace and help and grace, life to them. Thank you where there's been a hindrance to the flow of prayer. There's going to be an opening. There's going to be a full measure. Thank you for helping us to walk humbly with our God. With every head still bowed and every eye closed, a few moments ago I asked you if you'd ever given your life to Christ, and I asked you if you had given your life to Christ but you weren't walking right now, I asked you to acknowledge that. If you're here in this auditorium, I just want you to stand to your feet. I've never given my life to Christ. Or you're saying, I've given my life to Christ, but I'm not walking with him right now the way I should be. Just want you to stand up on your feet. You're here in this auditorium. I'm going to pray for you, but to do that, I want you to stand up right where you are. Someone here, I believe God is dealing with you. Well, Father, you see every heart. You see every person here tonight. So we just have done our best to share what you laid on our heart, and we just entrust each person to you now. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Is this someone standing? Yes, yes, please come down here. Come, if you would, just come down here and let me pray for you. Come right on down here. God's dealing with you. God wants to help you. Come on down here and let me pray for you. Okay, all right. Well, Father, you see everyone's heart, and we thank you, honor you, and acknowledge you. In Jesus' name, amen. My friend, look at me tonight. I don't know what God's got in store for you, but I do know this. Whatever it is, God wants you to walk humbly with him. And he doesn't want anything between our hearts and his heart. And so often, some form of pride is what ensnares us if we're not careful. And that was the trick, that was the trap that got Satan. He was full of pride. That's what caused God to kick him out of heaven. And it's why he works so hard on believers. Because he's the king of pride. The Bible says pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Stand up on your feet, my friend. God's got good things in store for you. And I just believe several people made some adjustments in here. And God's going to be able to help you in a greater measure. You need prayer for something. We want you to come right down here. You know how we do by now. Come on down here and get prayer. If you're a lady, come to the ladies. Guys, come to the guys. Someone came in here and it was your first time with us here at Rhema Bible Church. And as Pastor Tad was saying, we have a great gift for you on behalf of our senior pastors, the church family. And if you would go with our connection team member right now, they're not going to keep you long. They're just going to give you a great gift. They're going to shake your hand and take you to a place and give you a gift and let you go. So if you would go with them right now, we're going to let you do that before the crowd starts to disperse, because then it'll take you a long time to get there. So can we show our love for these who've come first time tonight? Praise God. We're not trying to embarrass anybody. We just want to bless people, thank them, let them know how much we appreciate them coming tonight. So, all right, lift one hand to the Lord. Father, as we go tonight, we thank you for keeping us safe, for guarding us. Guard our pastors and guard all those in Oklahoma City. Keep us all safe, Father God, till we meet again. Thank you for watching over us during this past week's storms and watching out for us. We just acknowledge you and thank you. Bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, my friends, God bless you. We'll see you right here on Wednesday night. You are dismissed.